About 6 weeks ago, I got a phone call from a number that I didn't recognize. I don't answer numbers that I don't recognize. Anybody else with me? Yeah, it's a good practice nowadays, right? I mean, if it's 609, I might answer it because who knows, right? It could be a family member of somebody or something, but if it's from an area code that I don't know, I'm not going to answer it. If it's important, they'll leave a voicemail, right? Well, they did. I got a phone call. I didn't answer it. And I listened to the voicemail, and the first thing I heard was, "Hello, Reverend Dave. This is the Greater New Jersey Annual Conference Office." That's the bishop's office. And I said, "What did I do?" I try to keep a low profile. If the bishop doesn't know my name, I'm okay with that. So I said, well, I guess I better call back. They know my name, right? Then I started thinking, maybe it's not so bad. Maybe I just missed a meeting. But it's the summertime. What meeting could I have missed? It's amazing how many thoughts can go through your head in just a few seconds. So I figured, well, there's only one way to find out. And I picked up the phone. Peggy knows how much I love phone calls. And I called back. And I had found out that our new district superintendent, who's getting installed tonight, had actually recommended our church and the story of our confirmation class and their projects to the editor of the conference newsletter. And that's where that whole thing came from. It went home in the newsletter this month. But you may have seen it throughout the summer because they did a whole page article that every church in the conference got to see about our confirmation class and the projects that they did. And they wanted to interview me for this article. And I have to say, they made me sound very smart, which is not easy to do with my own words. So we talked for a while over the phone, and now you can see this article on the bulletin board, and as I said, in the newsletter. And you may have noticed this week, friends, I know that some of you did, these projects are still ongoing. Ava, just this week, was on Facebook because the Burlington County Animal Shelter was praising her for her work with her pet food pantry. And they actually said that this was part of her confirmation project. And she had added what she did for our church, and she put a collection can at her dad's business. And together with the food and toys that you gave, she also was able to give $237 to the Burlington County Animal Shelter. So let's give thanks to God for Ava. Amen. Great work being done right in front of us. That started here. How cool is that? Well, at first when I thought the bishop was calling me, I was nervous. Just like the kids said that they would be nervous if the principal had called them from home. I wonder if that's how Timothy felt when he received a letter from Paul. Back in those days, it probably would have been hand-delivered, right? And they say, "Timothy, you have a letter. It's from Paul." Oh, not sure I want to open that. The scripture that Kathy read for you this morning is from a letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. And this is very important. This is different. This whole letter is very, very different than anything else that we have in the Bible up to this point. We're thinking about the Old Testament. It's a lot of, this is what happened. Here are the rules. Here are the laws. Prophets saying this will happen if you continue on this course. And then the New Testament comes, and we're hearing about what Jesus did in his ministry and what the apostles did after Jesus' death. But now we get a letter for the first time in the Bible that is a letter written by a pastor to a pastor. Everything else was for the general public, right? For particular congregations, for education. But this is basically from a bishop to one of the pastors that he's supervising. This is a pastoral epistle. The word epistle means letter. It's a fancy way of saying letter. So this is a pastoral letter. And it is one of only three examples in the Bible of a pastoral epistle. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. That's it. But this one is different. And as you can see, if you can read past where Kathy read for us this morning, you can see how it is different than everything else. They are letters written by a supervising pastor to somebody that they're mentoring. So naturally, the focus of this letter is going to be different than everything else that we read in the Bible. Paul doesn't have to tell Timothy the stories of the faith. As a pastor, he should know them, right? Paul is writing particularly to Timothy about how to be a pastor and how to organize and administrate the work of the church. And if you go on past 1 Timothy 1, you can see that this is very much like a book of discipline. Right after 1 Timothy 1, we get instructions concerning prayer, qualifications of bishops, qualifications of deacons, false asceticism, trying to correct false teachings that are going on in the early church, duties towards believers. What is our job as pastoral leaders? This is not a letter written to the general public. This is a pastoral letter written to Timothy to tell him how to pastor his flock. But how did Paul start that letter is equally intriguing. He didn't get right into the business like the Book of Discipline might. A very important message that Paul started with for Timothy was about humility. And that teaches us that to be a good pastoral leader, you first have to realize that you are just as much a sinner as anybody else. And in Paul's own admission, he was the worst of them all. Paul knew that well. Because as he said in his own words, as far as sinners go, I'm the worst. He called himself a blasphemer, a persecutor of the church, and a man of violence. And we know that all to be true, unfortunately. Paul, in his younger days, in the days that these men were doing Jesus' work, was a violent and aggressive persecutor of the church, killing people, hunting them down for believing in Jesus Christ. But Paul's message didn't just stop at that bad news that he was formerly a sinner. The key word there is was. Formerly, but now I have changed. I have found something that improved my life. Paul strongly emphasized the good news of Jesus Christ, even though he was a sinner and possibly the worst of them all. He received the mercy, forgiveness, and love of Christ, even him. And that's what he's saying. If God can forgive me, look what I've done. If God can forgive me, God will forgive you. He knew that Jesus' purpose for all of this. Why would Jesus choose a blaspheming, violent hater of the church? Why would he choose that person to write 60% of the New Testament when there are so many faithful followers to choose from? Paul believed that he had the answer. For that very reason, I receive mercy, so that in me, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who come to believe in him for eternal life. There has to be a part of our faith that focuses particularly on people who've never heard these stories before. And we are an example to them. Jesus uses transformation stories as powerful tools of witness and good news. And it is through these changing of lives, through these transformation stories, that God's love, mercy, and forgiveness are seen most clearly. For Jesus to use a faithful follower might not make many people notice, but they noticed Paul's transformation, a complete turnaround. A formerly blasphemous and violent man is now the leader of the church. That truly transformed the world. So never count yourself out. Paul didn't count himself out. Even if he did, Jesus didn't count Paul out. Whatever you've done, it isn't likely as bad as what Paul used to do, right? And even if it is, nothing is too big for God to forgive and turn around into a remarkable story of transformation in the name of Jesus Christ that people will see as an example and choose to follow. You are the best tool of the church. Your stories, your life, your witness is the best tool of the church. Not the guy in the robe at the front of the church. You. Your real life stories. The world is watching. They're watching us as Christians. What are they seeing? We believe Paul was in his late 40s when his life was turned around. Sometimes we say, well, it's too late. It's too late for me. Paul was in his late 40s. Yes, that doesn't seem very old nowadays. But in his time, that was beyond the life expectancy. When Paul lived, the average life expectancy was 43. He was in his late 40s. He was an elderly man when his life was turned around. It's never too late. And we've never done too much for God to transform us. And more importantly, for God to transform the world through us. You may feel like the world is constantly hanging your past over your head, but God doesn't. God wants to use you to transform the world, and your transformation story is how he wants to do it. Amen.